press record. First thing I have to do is tell you what I'm doing on the record. So the key objective of this interview is to serve as a research tool to document memories of the American chestnut in the southern Appalachian region. Information obtained in these interviews will be retained and made available for further use in efforts to promote a better understanding of the role of the American chestnut in Appalachian culture. Have you signed the participant identification and release agreements?
Yes, I have.
Okay, great. Now we're official.
Yeah.
So if you wanted to start out and tell me who you are, where you were born, and like when you were born, how old you are.
Okay. My name's Frank Messer, and I was born in the Great Smoky Mountains, which is a national park in Sevier County in East Tennessee. So I was born in 1927. My granddaddy owned the property, and where we lived is at a different location in the mountains. But I don't remember moving from the mountains to Jefferson County when after they bought the park and made everyone move out. But I did grow up in Jefferson County and got old enough to remember the chestnuts. Before they were dying at that time, and but we still had two trees on in a pasture field that he owned, and I can remember as a kid going there even barefooted and try to pick up chestnuts, and those burrs, you know, you couldn't do that barefooted, but we only got shoes. We were poor folks. We only got shoes in the wintertime, so it's. But my brothers that were large and bigger than I were, we'd go over there and pick up chestnuts and bring them home, and we'd string them up on a string. One way they'd fix them to eat would be boil them in hot water, you know, just boil them to get them hot through and through, and it made a good dish. So, but I can remember eating chestnuts, even carrying them when I started the first grade school. I'd carry chestnuts to school to have for snacks, but. But the chestnuts, they were dying at that time. But I didn't realize the importance of them or anything. And all the chestnut trees that's on the people's farm there was dying. And after my granddaddy moved to the home plate, after he had to leave the mountains, it's probably 1930, I'd say 34 probably, he moved out of the mountains to Jefferson County, and we had moved from the house that he bought, which is the house is still standing there, but they built us a smaller house, and so we moved into that, and but I can remember the chestnuts was in the woodland, and my granddaddy, he started cutting chestnuts to sell the wood. Because it had an acid to it. I don't know what they did with it.
They tanned leather with a lot of it.
Well, I guess, and he cut them, and he dragged them down to the bottom of the hill, most of the hill up through there, and where he could get to them with a truck, and he didn't even own a truck, so he'd rent a guy to come and haul them to Newport. That's, I guess 20 miles from where we live, and I went with them one time, and I remember the smell of the acid that they were rendering, and I think it's Holston River. Man, it just smelled, I guess like a rotten egg. Well, it was a terrible smell, but everybody used chestnuts as far as the wood part of it. I remember the chestnut rail fences that farmers had, especially in the mountains, until they tore them all down. There's probably some still in the Cades Cove area in the mountains that's still open to the public to travel and go see. It's a good car route you can go on to. But I remember those very well, and I remember my brothers, older brothers, and my uncles making boards to cover a barn with, and they're using it for that purpose. What we liked about it as kids, it was easy for us to split it and cut it to burn as a stove wood or kindling wood. Yeah, you know, we burned everything. We burned every rail we could get a hold of because it'd be dry and burn good. So That went on for several years till we got it all cleaned up. But I didn't, like I said, I never did realize what happened on this blight or something hit them, and it was all over with them. It was a good time of knowing about a chest and eating them. And there's still some results of it in the park area up there of chestnut. Those rails, they'd split rails and use them to make a fence. And those things last for years and years and years. It just didn't rot. And a post, they made a post for fencing. And it was a very, very good post. But it's easy wood to work with. I mean, it's soft and work good. And it you can find not many, but find up there, you can still find some chestnut cabin stuff building in cabin, and people buy them to refinish and make their floors out of it. So it was a pretty wood. It's easy to work with.
What part of the park did your family live in? Or where was that?
Well, it was in Sevier County, and if you were from Gatlinburg, if you went into Gatlinburg, it's a famous place now that everybody knows, but then it was just a road up through there. You went into Gatlinburg, and in the first red light of Gatlinburg, you turn left and go around the mountain, foot of the mountain. This road's like 321, I think is the number of it now. But you went about six, seven miles out of Gatlinburg, and you turn right off this. And the section we were in was called Greenbrier, Big Greenbrier. And it was well populated. A lot of families lived up that road all the way up to the home place where we were. We were about the last settlement of houses where anybody lived, I think. But you can still get to it. It's the road still, the government, they keep it open.
Have you been up there recently?
Well, since my wife's sick now and in the nursing home, so I haven't been in 2 years, but we normally would go two or three times a summer. I just love to go up the mountains. Especially Decoration Day, and people would gather in the mountains and have a big day up there. And what few of the old timers left, you'd see them every year. But now it's all in the new. Well, there's still a few people. It's like this cousin of mine, his mother-in-law is 100-year-old. She still goes.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and you might want to contact him. It'd be a good contact.
Great. Yeah,
in Cleveland.
Really
when,
good.
Yeah, you could.
That's real close to me.
You could get a lot of information.
Yeah, I'd love to get in touch with
you.
Let's see. So, you said your grandfather was a trader?
Well, yeah, he did things to make a living. He'd, you know, do anything to make a dollar, you know.
Did he ever trade the actual nuts, or?
I don't think so. The poor folks back in those days would sell walnuts to make a buy sugar with, you know. But I remember cracking nuts, and we used to get so much pound for them, and berries and all that type of stuff you could pick and sell to the people in town. So.
But not chestnuts?
No, I don't think we ever got enough chestnuts to sell. I think we'd probably eat everything we got in chestnuts, because I like them. We'd have a big bunch of them and keep them for a long time and eat them, but I don't think we ever tried to sell them.
Do you remember any, what you said you boiled them sometimes. Do you remember any other ways that you would eat chestnuts?
Raw. Just boil them or eat them raw. Bake them. I guess they would bake them too, probably. But just eat them like eating a peanut. Same way as you do a peanut. You can boil peanuts and eat them.
But you wouldn't bake them into any foods or
dishes? I don't remember that happening. If they did, I don't remember. It's probably not. I don't think could have used them maybe in a pie or something, you know, like pecan or something. I don't remember that part of it. If they did,
was it something you would eat like as a meal or as part of a meal, or was it a snack? A
snack, like we'd eat a pecan today, you know. You'd carry them around in your pocket and eat them, and then you got a little hungry. So it wouldn't be no meal. It's just a snack thing, like eating popcorn and all that. So.
Did you guys have any livestock that you would feed chestnuts to, or that would eat chestnuts out in the woods?
The I don't remember. I don't remember feeding, but I'm sure that they fed them to the hogs. I don't remember the about any other, like cattle or horses. I don't know if they would be a good food for them or not. I really don't know.
Did you all have your hogs fenced, or were they just running?
No. They all we had was fenced. All I remember was fenced and kept on close lots so they'd kill a whole bunch in the wintertime. Mm-hmm. And have pork for the winter.
Some people have talked about, like, before the stock laws, when the hogs just ran free in the woods, whatever, you tagged your hogs in a certain way, and that they would sometimes eat chestnuts. Did you ever remember hearing anything about that?
I'm sure they did in my granddad's day. I'm sure they did in the mountains. They probably just run them just like they did those wild boar they got up there now. Mm-hmm. Let them run. And they'll go to an area now where there's acorns. I remember the old cemeteries where we visited up there. Well, the boars have been in there. They just rooted the whole thing up because it's cleared property and they can get to it. Mm-hmm. But if they raised hogs, then like them, I'd done it then. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure they fed them chestnuts because it was a meal that I guess they enjoyed it. Yeah.
Was the chestnut trees that you would go gather from, were they trees that were on y'all's property and, like, your father or grandfather had cut all the other kinds of trees but left the chestnuts?
Well, in this, the two trees I remember very well was in a pasture field. And but the rest of them I remember just in the woods where they would grow up. Of course, a lot of them had fallen down and after they all had seed on them, they'd go in after they'd fall down and cut them up and either make stove wood out of them or boards or whatever they could. But they cleared them out. I mean, they used them. They didn't let them lay up there and rot. Once they could get to, was like I say, my granddad, he cut them up and sold them. He did locust timber that way to sell locusts to make the post out of.
Did he have a sawmill or?
No, but I remember the when after he moved there, he had a guy somewhere in the county had a sawmill come in there with a steam engine for his power, and he used a lot of chestnut wood. But I can remember those sparks coming out of it and starting fire. You know, they had the way they had it located. They had to watch it go. When that thing was running, making steam, it'd pop off those cinder sparks. And it was interesting. And they sold wood out. So he cut all of his timber and sold it. Like the oaks and things he could sell.
Did he sell them locally, or did he put them on a train?
No, I think they just hauled them by truck somewhere. I don't know where people coming in and bought it, or I don't know exactly how they that part of it. But no train. The closest train we had was to Jefferson City. That was 50 miles away. So, but I'm sure that everything was done hauled into by truck. In and out.
So when you would go gather chestnuts, would you get enough to where you could store them up and keep them for a while?
Once they get ripe and fall, you had to get them pretty quick or other things might pick them up. So we'd get all we could. You'd go every morning, and as long as they were on the tree, they'd pick some up. So we'd pick up everyone we could get and save them.
How would you store them?
Just in a bag or something. It's like storing probably corn or anything like that you'd want to.
How long would they last you? Would they last you till Christmas, or?
Well, if we let them, they probably would. But we got rid of them pretty quick, so I can't remember how long we would have them till. But they would keep pretty good though, best I remember, because I don't remember rotting or worming. Sometimes you find a little worm in them, but not that you had to treat them or anything. But you find a cake to find a worm, just like you do now. Acorn, you can find acre now, so they've had a few worms in it. But mm-hmm. It was a great tree. Great tree. They got big. Big diameter.
What was the biggest tree? How big around would you say it was that you remember seeing?
One of those trees in that pasture that he owned, it was 4 foot, 5 foot saw. It'd take a 2 men saw. It'd take a big saw to cut it, you know, mm-hmm. to go through it. They got big, growed big.
So was any part of y'all's house, or you were talking about that barn, but it was. What buildings were made out of chestnut that you remember?
I don't remember making anything much out of the lumber part of it, but
Are you talking about houses or buildings that were made out of chestnut?
The biggest part I remember about the chestnut wood was making. Boards out of them for the cover of the barn and stuff like that with them. But I don't remember even. They raised tobacco up there. I remember though they'd use the chestnut rail to make their hanging space in the barn. My granddad, he built a big tobacco barn on his place until he moved out of the mountains. And he used a lot of chestnut wood.
What do you mean by hanging space? Or I don't know what that is, I guess.
Have you ever seen any tobacco cured in a barn? Mm-hmm. They'd hang them on sticks, like 5 foot sticks, mm-hmm. and they'd make a like 5 foot, like this wall and this wall, and they'd make a room to hang this tobacco for it to dry. And they'd use it, and they'd use posts to fasten these rails too, so they could cure the tobacco. Mm.
That's cool. I've not heard about that.
Yeah.
What other kinds of wood would they have used? For barns, like what would they have used if not chestnut?
For the lumber part, oak or whatever.
Do you think that they preferred chestnut to oak? Or?
I don't know about that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Probably in the older days, it probably did more than like what I can remember of it. But when they were live and going good in chestnuts, I guess they used them. I sawed them into lumber and everything. Because you can still... find some of the buildings that's got sawed lumber, especially the old cabins, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Were the chestnuts that you remember seeing, were they bigger than the other trees in the forest, or were they more plentiful than the other trees? Or?
No, not more plentiful. Not as plentiful as oak and hickory, but they were just they were scattered, not real thick, and they just like an ordinary tree. I mean, it's you know, number of years they get pretty good, pretty large. But it's.
But was that after the blight had already started to come through, or before?
No, see, I remember the blight days of the chestnut. Whenever they, if they started dying, see, a lot of them, even we had back then, was already dead in the wood. Seemed like they died quicker in the wood. I don't know why, but that. Mm-hmm. So in the last few years, that we were able to pick up chestnuts was. The trees were dying, and they'd still produce. Just like a fruit tree now, it's going to start dying, but it's 2 or 3 years, mm-hmm. still can produce some stuff. But mm-hmm. that's the way I remember those things. They finally played out, or they wasn't producing anything.
Mm-hmm. What about any, like, tools or household things around the house, furniture that would have been made out of chestnut?
I'm sure they did. I don't.
No,
I'm sure they did because it would, like I say, it's a good wood to work with, soft and good wood to work with. I'm sure they used a lot of it back in the days that they had to saw it with a handsaw and cut, you know, with an axe and all that. I'm sure they did.
Did you ever cut down a chestnut tree yourself? Or?
I wasn't big enough to really. I've probably been around where they're cutting them, but I wasn't big enough to. I started a lot of things when I was a boy, but I don't remember. I wasn't big enough to pull a saw mm-hmm. at that time.
And you said something about taking some chestnut to a tannery or the.
I don't remember what seemed like it's 4 foot blocks they would cut them, mm-hmm. or maybe longer, 4 or 6, I don't know. They would cut them and they'd haul them on a truck to from where we live. It's about 50 miles from where we lived, to Newport, Tennessee, and they had this tannery up there. They call it Chesney Tannery. And I remember going there one time with my granddaddy, and I can remember that smell and the river. They emptied the waste in a river, I guess, because it was terrible. It made the whole town smell.
I think I've been through Newport one time when I was driving from Eastern Kentucky to Hot Springs, North Carolina.
Yeah, you did. You did.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I remember driving through.
Yeah.
Cute little town.
Yeah, it's right. It's a 70 highway runs right through the town. It's, mm-hmm. But the interstate bypasses it. But back then, that's the only way you can get to Hot Springs. Really, the only road
really
up there. Yeah,
in there.
Yeah, 70 highways. So.
Let's see. Do you think? I kind of already asked you this, but do you think the chestnut was a more or less desirable wood than other kinds of wood, or?
Probably not. I don't know really the history of it that well, but but probably when it was going, it was, you know, when they could cut them and get good lumber out of them, they probably used it a lot. I was back then they'd build buildings and not paint them. You know, they didn't. Old folks back then never painted anything around. They'd last for years just unpainted.
Do you remember any stories that your parents or grandparents would have told you about chestnuts? Like secondhand stories, sort of?
Not really. Mm-hmm. Not really. No.
Okay.
Like I said, when you're a kid, and now my parents were deaf mutes, both of them.
Oh.
And we could get no history from them because
wow.
They didn't teach us, and I never did learn the sign language, and we had to motion make our own sign, what we wanted or anything like that. And until my older days, my sister learned. She learned the sign language. She went to Knoxville and learned sign language. And she could talk to him, but I couldn't talk to him. And I didn't get no history. I mean, the children, there was eight of us kids.
That's amazing.
And we didn't get no direct messages about either side. They both went to the deaf school in Knoxville. And she is from Rockwood, Tennessee. And they met and married, I guess, after they finished school. And I never knew anything much about her side of the family. I met her aunts and my uncle, and that's about all I ever met of that family.
So it's your father's side of the family that's from the park?
He's, yeah, Greenery, yeah, from the mountain park. Yeah, so she was from Rockwood. Of course, it's Rome County down there somewhere, Crab Orchard somewhere down there. I don't know. Because I think her parents died young, so I didn't know any history of grandparents or anything, just her sisters all, my mother's sisters and
that's
brother.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. But let's see. And,
that's amazing.
But my dad, going to school, he learned a shoe trade to repair shoes. And he, when he moved out of the mountains, so he farmed when he's in the mountains, raises gardens and crop and everything, and probably big shoes, you know, on the side, and it's the house, just a hammer and a tacks. But he finally moved, after we moved to Jefferson County, I remember him moving his, he only had a shoe last and a hammer and a sewing machine. He had like three items. He could sew, couldn't sew on soles, but he could sew on just what was toe ripped.
Mm-hmm.
And he put on soles with a tacks on the shoe. But it was several years before he ever got a machine he could do all the sewing that you could do now to fix a shoe with. So,
that's really
but
amazing.
He couldn't drive a car, and he rode it. We had an old mule that he could work, he could handle him, and the mule understood him. He could ply him, do anything he wanted to with him. And he'd ride this mule to town, 3 miles. He's 3 miles from town, 3 to 4 miles. And he'd ride that mule more than that. And he finally, his sister's husband taught him to drive a Model T Ford, and he finally bought a Model T Ford to go back and forth to work in. So, and he'd done that a long time. The Ford's played out, and he started an old Chevrolet. And he had a terrible time remembering even how to shift the gear and all that. Mm-hmm. Their training was different from you and I training for something. Mm-hmm. They had different ways they did things, so it's interesting.
That is so interesting.
Yeah, he would. And I can remember of course, you may not remember the car shift. You know, used to, back then, everything had a shift in the floorboard.
Yeah,
shift. Well, you've seen some of the old ones if you've looked at them at the museum.
Uh-huh.
But he learned to drive with a shift in the floor. Then I guess it's from 40, 41, 42, something, started coming out with one of the transmissions, the shift on the steering wheel like you know about now. And he had a terrible time remembering how to do that.
It would get confusing, probably.
Well, yeah, well, he did it. It was interesting, but it was amazing, though. He could drive a car, and if he ever had a wreck, I don't know it. And where we lived, there in Dandridge in Jefferson County, last place we lived, he owned some property, and he'd pull out on 70 Highway, I mean, just a little dirt road coming up from his house into the highway. I mean, they owned it on Sauber Hill. I mean, you couldn't see nowhere. You could see one way. You could see right, but you couldn't see left. And, but how he could get out of there and not get hit.
Amazing.
Deaf people are funny. But we didn't get no help from them, really, for anything, hardly,
yeah.
You know, and teaching.
So did your grandfather help raise you a lot, or...?
My grandmother did more than anybody in the family. I can remember her more than my granddaddy. All he wanted out of the boys was work. Mm-hmm. And if you was able to work, you worked all day long for him. Which that's what I did. Mm-hmm. He was school days in wasn't a have to thing, and mm-hmm. he'd keep us home, make us work. Mm-hmm. So we didn't. Some of them got to, you know, this 8th grade. I never did even get into high school.
My grandmother went to 8th grade twice because she couldn't get high school because it was too far.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All the boys would go mm-hmm. around on her creek, but the girls
yeah.
wouldn't go, so she went to
8th
grade twice.
Yeah, well, see, they finally started running the school bus into this area, and the kids was old enough to go to high school. They'd take them, I don't know, it was a route they'd have to go. It'd take them probably over an hour. But it's my brother's just older than I am. He got into high school, and he's the only one that ever made through high school. Mm. The rest of us had to work. But everybody.
What was the work? Tobacco or?
Just farm, yeah. Mm-hmm. Back then, farming, just whatever, cutting wood, and raising tobacco. And of course, I was. Play on a team when I was 12 year old.
So
now you wouldn't even think about it, you know. But I'd plow for, like in wintertime, you'd start plowing for the fall, for the spring planting, you'd start early and plow all winter when it was dry enough.
That's amazing.
It's a lot different from work days then, work days now.
I'd say so.
It's different.
Well, one other question I've been asking folks is, do you think that the American chestnut was an important kind of cultural symbol or symbol of the culture and like that mountain lifestyle in the Appalachian region?
I'd never thought about it, but I'm sure it would be. I'm sure they depended on that chestnut a lot. But in my days, I don't think it's felt important because, like I said, they've been in the dying stage, mm-hmm. and I never did really know that much about them as far as the history much on them.
Were there any sort of like traditions or celebrations, like holidays or get-togethers in the fall or anything like that you would have been eating chestnuts during that time?
No,
like that?
No.
Just like part of the everyday.
Yeah, I don't think it's that important. I don't know if you've heard of the RAMP festival that they have.
R-A-P?
R-A-M-P. It's
a
RAMP.
Yeah.
RAMP. It's a wild.
Yeah.
I think they still have that in Cock County in Newport, and that was one time when I was a young guy. They come everywhere, like the governor. They'd have the governor come in, this big politicians. A big one-day ram festival up there.
Was that in the spring?
In spring, yeah. They grew out in the mountain hills, and that's when they could get them. But they'd be ready, around June, 1st of June, something like that.
Yeah, I've heard of those ram festivals, and it was sort of like a social event for young people.
Yeah, they would go. Yeah, they had great days then. And just like decoration, still is good in the mountains in some parts. And the picnic, homecoming and things like that still goes on up there. But that ramp was a big thing. It was like it'd be like going and pulling a wild onion out of your garden or something. It tasted worse than a wild onion. But they eat them.
I heard something like that they'd, all the young people would go out and eat ramps and they'd get to smelling so bad that they like had to stay out there for a while.
Yeah, they couldn't. Yeah, you couldn't stand them. it was like eating garlic.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what the smell of garlic is now, and people eat garlic. You can smell them. In fact, they use much. I can eat a little, but I don't like garlic.
I haven't had garlic.
That's the way it was.
Were there any songs that you remember that would have had chestnuts in it, or
no?
What about?
I'm sure they did, but I don't remember.
Okay. What about any like old mountain kind of sayings or anything like that?
The mountain music. I wasn't old enough to learn mountain music, but it's today. People still knows mountain music. It's a different song altogether. People knows how to sing it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they'd get together, even in people's homes, and just have a dance party and stuff like that. Younger women, my cousins, all that. Go to my granddaddy's house, and they'd move everything out of the house and have a big, what they call a shindig. Just get together and dance, play a banjo. Somebody could play a banjo, and somebody could play a fiddle and a guitar, and they'd have a big time. I'm sure that's all that stopped now, but they used to do that.
Would they have been eating chestnuts while they're having those get-togethers?
Probably. If they had them, I'm sure they did. Uh-huh. I'm sure they did. They drank whiskey, most of them, though.
Oh, I wanted to ask you about that, too. I've heard some people talk about, one couple people mentioned that for firing stills, people would burn chestnut rails because they didn't smoke.
Yeah,
did
mm-hmm.
you?
Yeah, but
you know,
yeah.
Any stories about that? Or?
Well, I did. I've been around the steel. My brother and uncle made whiskey, and they'd use chestnut rail and stuff like that. It's like you say, so it didn't put out a big smoke where it could be spotted, and it. But it burnt well of chestnut, and it made a good fire, and it wasn't corrosive type burn like oaks and things. Yeah, they'd use it.
That's interesting.
Yeah, because it was a.
Let's see. What about, are there any games that you remember playing with chestnuts?
No.
Some people have talked about, too, like, I've heard a few stories about throwing chestnut burrs, is that being kind of a game?
I'd say so, yeah.
Do you remember ever being pricked with a chestnut burr?
Well, us boys, I'm sure we'd throw them at each other, yeah. Yeah, but they were sharp. Yeah. You've seen the Chinese chestnut, haven't you? If any of the chestnuts now, if they're producing, started producing chestnuts, how are they?
Yeah, they're trying.
I didn't ask Mr. Kemp about that.
Yeah, I've got one of their old journals in the car. I'll give you. It's got some like information in there about it. But
yeah, he gave me one at the last big meeting they had, and he gave me that book today. Just printed.
Yeah.
I just got through reading it.
Yeah, it's really. Uh-huh. I want to ask some stuff about that too in a minute. But, okay, now I want to talk a little bit about the blight. So what do you remember about when those trees first, when you first noticed that those trees were dying?
I don't think I was old enough to really know, because it, like I said, the blight was already on them whenever I can remember. Remember being the full bloom or whatever it was. But I don't know how long the blight was on them or if I, it's like, you know, like the pine trees, especially in East Tennessee, it's hit that part of the country real bad. So it's killed a lot of pines up there. Some kind of a bug or something. And I don't know if that was a bug that killed the chestnut or just, I don't know what happened.
Fungus. Do you remember ever seeing the fungus on those trees, or how
did
you tell?
Know. I don't know. I really don't know that.
Okay. How old were you when the last chestnut tree died in your area?
I'd say you remember? Probably 5 or 6 year old. Okay. Yeah.
Do you remember hearing your parents talk about the blight, or anybody that, remember anybody older than you saying anything about it?
Not really.
Noticing it?
No, but I'm sure they talked about it, but they never, I don't remember anything being said, which, why or anything like that.
Did you ever hear about anybody trying to, or what did people do once the trees were dead?
They'd cut them and get rid of them just as. That's why that acid would, I think, probably was the reason the granddaddy jumped on that real quick to cut them. He cut everyone he could get a hold of, even on somebody else's property. Wanted to get them cut and get them out of the way. They didn't stay long in where they were growing, so they were cut up and sold as acid wood or cut and made wood out of them. They just make stove wood. Everybody back then had to use stove wood, you know. And it made a good wood to burn. It was easy. It split good. And that's what everybody looked for, even in an oak. A lot of oaks is good wood. A lot of them can't split, and you can't split them. Mm-hmm. Same way I'm making a board for a barn, a cover barn. Some of them split. But same thing on a chestnut, it would split good. Straight.
Do you think the loss of the American chestnut had any direct economic impact on your family?
I don't think so. Probably just another loss back then, you know.
Let's see. Oh, was there any other kind of wood or nut that replaced the chestnut? Like if you weren't gathering chestnuts to eat in the fall, were you gathering more of
walnuts,
something else?
Walnuts and hickory nut.
Do you think you gathered more of them once the chestnuts were gone?
I'm sure we did. Yeah, yeah, we'd go out together. Especially walnuts, people would. I don't remember us doing. We just gather them and keep them in a dry place and eat them. You know, just crack them, and eat them. But people that need some money, they'd pick up every walnut they could get and dry it, and in wintertime they'd sit around the fireplace and crack it and get the, I think they got like, I don't know, 50 cents a pound for a pound of walnut. Any place in town would buy them, or you could take them and swap them in for your groceries. So it was quite a way of making a little extra money.
Okay, well, I guess, is there anything else you remember about that blight, or?
No, I don't.
Blight questions.
Yeah, I know it. I know, but I just don't, I don't remember the beginning of it, or wasn't old enough to know it, and I don't even know what year it started. Do you have any history on
it? It started
that?
Up in New York in 1904.
Oh, did it, 1904?
And they say it moved about 30 miles a year.
Coming south, huh?
Yeah, so that's why we're kind of lucky down here, because mm-hmm. we have people like you who remember the trees a little bit, whereas
yeah.
up north, you know,
1904, yeah, nothing, yeah.
Be hard-pressed to find someone that old who could be old enough to remember it. So that's what we're kind of lucky, and that's why we're trying to record these stories now while we can still have a sense of why they're
I've got my oldest brother now. I've got two brothers passed, but I got a brother now that lives in California, and he went to school and everything in the mountains. And I bet he could remember. I've never talked about it much, but I bet he could remember. He remembers his school days, and my oldest brother passed. He remembers his school days. He said he got a whipping the first days in school. He remembers the man who whipped him. He's had a man teacher. I don't know what he did. Couldn't have been much, but they put the paddle to you back then. But he'd remember.
Did y'all take chestnuts to school with you after
that? Yeah, in your pocket. Yeah, something you put in your pocket, you can carry it for a snack.
Did you pick them up on your way, or did you?
We probably haven't picked up. Haven't picked up and cracked and dried if we could. We tried to dry them. It's like drying fruit. You seen your parents dry fruit?
So did you? You took the hull off of it?
Take it out of that. See, when it fell, it would pop open. I guess sort of remind you of an oyster or something. It'd pop open, and you could dig it out. It wasn't much trouble after it got dead enough or ripe, whichever way you call it. When it dropped from the tree, it would you can tell you could dig it out pretty easy. You just get stuck with those burrs. You had to watch that.
Yeah. So do you know about the restoration effort that the Chestnut Foundation folks are working on?
No. What I read in this book is all of the science.
You know a little bit.
I know a little bit now what I've read, and I didn't know anything. Like Ms. Kim gave me that book. Mm-hmm. I didn't know they had organizations that were even planting them. He says he got some trees planted. He got a farm, hour drive or more from where he lived. Mm-hmm. He said he's got a pretty, I don't know if he got an acre or something like that planted now.
Yeah, there's a bunch of folks who are part of the Chestnut Foundation. Yeah. A lot of them have orchards.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. But
yeah, they're trying.
But someday look like the, I said, what's the advantage of getting these chestnuts back? He said, for lumber and all that purpose. Mm-hmm. So that's the idea of growing chestnuts.
That's what I've been asking folks too. Folks who remember the tree. So, do you think it's important to bring the tree back? You think that's important?
Evidently, yeah. Evidently, it is, because it's like it's a beautiful wood. Mm-hmm. It's like cherry and walnut. It makes it was a. And it's so easy to work with. I guess would be one reason they would want to get it back. But I guess it'd be an expensive. If they ever get them big enough where they start selling them and all this, I expect it to be a good wood.
Do you, I know you said you don't know too much about the restoration effort, but do you think it will be successful given what you know?
Yeah, well, I'm sure it would. Yeah, it's too nice of a wood to not people enjoy it.
So this is kind of an interesting question, but so you have a sense of why the chestnut was important 80 years ago, or when you were growing up, or when your parents were alive and living. But how do you think the role of the tree might change if it were back in these forests today? Would people use it in the same ways that your parents used chestnuts?
Wouldn't need to. I think the market now would just be for furniture purposes and building purposes.
So you don't think the nuts would be as important?
I don't think it would. I'm sure that if you had a grove of them, it'd be and you could pick them, you know, like they do pecans and things. Which they're important now. Mm-hmm. All your pecans and English walnuts and things to grow in the grove. I'd say it would, yeah. It'd be a harder method to pick, so, because of the burr part of it, it'd be hard to, they'd probably come up with a machine or something would get that chestnut out of there.
Well, part of the issue with it is that, so they think they have these seeds of this tree that will survive the blight and could be back in the forests around where your family grew up and around Tennessee here. But what they'll need is a lot of landowners private landowners to help and plant the trees and give them a light gap and protect them from deer while they're young. And do you think people would be willing to or will want to be involved in that effort and want to work with them and do that? Or do you think that's going to be difficult for them?
I'd say it'd be difficult.
How so? Why don't you think people would be excited about it?
Well, especially the deer thing like it is now, just keeping them out of it, keeping them from eating them. It's like people now that the farmers that grow soybeans or young corn or the deer, man, they just go down the road and pick it, you know, pick it clean. So they'd have a battle with it, I'm sure. And I guess if the deer like the taste of that young chestnut, I'm sure they would. Some things they won't bother, but I don't know what the taste would be like. So if it was,
I think it is an issue. I think the deer can be in those orchards
like
and stuff. Yeah, they like it.
Yeah.
Well, how do you can you think of any good ways to get people interested in working with the Chestnut Foundation and trying to bring the chestnut back?
Not really. I don't know any home, you know, landowners or anything it would be. It'd have to be somebody interested in that had land, you know, could do it and be interested in bringing them back.
Well, why do you think, like, Harold Kemp, why do you think he's interested in bringing the chestnuts back or people like him?
Well, one thing, he owns property, and another thing, he's interested in seeing stuff like that reproduced, you know. He just his nature. And I don't know about the younger generation, like in your age, if a young man owned a farm, whether he'd even be interested in doing that or not, you know. Probably not. I don't know how much work they are to it now. Just like peach orchard thing like that. It's hard to get hard anyone to grow orchards anymore.
Let's see, that's about all the questions I have. Do you have any other just concerns or hopes or fears or advice about trying to restore this tree or?
Not really. I don't know enough about it to really know.
Okay. Well, is there any other stories that come to mind that we should get on here before?
No, except back in those days, for young people, had a hard time getting by. I know that. Mm-hmm. Everybody's in the same. Every family you knew, whatever, lived in the mountains or wherever, they was in the same boat of living. Mm-hmm. One family wasn't much better off than the other because they had to work for whatever they got a hold of, maintain their food for the winter, you know, by gardening, killing hogs, stuff like that. It's just altogether different things these days because young people don't. Well, like actually in your age, you hadn't seen any real tough times with your parents. Your parents did, grandparents did. I mean, being from Kentucky, they've been in it, so I'd hate to see it happen. I'd hate to see it happen again, you know. It was hard times.
Yeah. Who knows what's going to happen in the next few years?
I know. It scares me. It scares me about my grandchildren and what they might be facing.
Yeah,
I got one wants to go to UT next year. I don't know if he's going to be able to swing and get in or not.
Mm. Well, that's all I got.
Well, that's a whole lot.
Yeah, it was great.